acres over the road. Made me the train to carry the heavy load. Made me the electrolyte to take us out of the dark. Made me the boat for the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man's, man's, man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, not a woman or a girl.
Well, good evening and welcome to Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins.
And a baby boys.
Is it a man's world out there anymore? That's kind of the question we've been kicking around in a series of shows I've been doing with my two guests tonight. We called it the Man Show Project, and kind of stemmed out of what was a double billing on Vinny's show a couple of months ago, and I wound up on the air with two of probably the best guys on independent radio right now. And somehow or another, we decided to do three shows, each of us on our own programs, to bring out issues about men specifically, but all of it ties together in some very interesting ways. And so that James Brown song from the 60s is kind of an anachronism now. And the world's a very different place for men and women. And that's kind of what we're kicking around. By way of announcing this right up front, this is the final Wednesday night show that we are going to be doing on the stream. We're going to move over to Friday nights on October 4th. Chris Holly will be back with me, and we're going to begin to do Friday night shows from 10 p.m. Eastern Time till midnight. And we may go the extra hour and go three-hour show if we get the support, the interest, and people that are interested in hanging out into the nighttime. And with all of that said, I really need to bring up my guests and kind of kick this off, because this is the third show that we've done on the subject. And I know they're loaded for bear tonight. And my guest from Canada First, he is a talk show host on American Freedom Radio. And he'll tell you more about his show. Welcome, David Whitehead.
Hey, Randy. How's it going, man? Pleasure to be here.
Good to be here. Good to have you on tonight, David. And tell people about your show, your website, and where you can be found.
Yeah, there's actually been a change in my schedule. I've recently been on the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Okay.
And so I'm on their same time slot as before, though. I'm on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Central, and of course that's 10 p.m. Eastern Time. My website is theworldwasmeantobefree.com, and my YouTube channel is Sensitive82, so they can pretty much find all they need to about what I do on those sites.
Great. And somebody who almost doesn't need an introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. He is the king of guerrilla media in New Zealand. He is the master of the bullhorn and the head-mounted camera. He has been an activist, an outspoken talk show host, and somebody that's really been a forward-running leader in the alternative media and in activism. Vinny Eastwood, welcome to Off Planet Radio.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. And, I guess it is actually still kind of a man's world. The problem is men don't seem to be controlling a lot of it these days. Let me qualify that. I was watching this movie last night called Kroll. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's from 1983. And it was the marriage ceremony between a son of a king and the daughter of a king. And he's a fighter, right? And the son of the king is marrying this woman. And the father of the bride says that fighters don't make a good husband. And the woman relays this to this fighter. And he says, well, that depends. Do you want your husband at your beck and call? do you want your husband to jump when you say so? If you don't, then sure, a fighter is not a good husband. However, she didn't want that in a husband. She didn't want submission. She wanted a man, and that's precisely what she got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was quite a profound lesson.
Yeah, it's really a different perspective from that standpoint. You know, I'll bring this up into politics. I'm watching this charade right now that's going on with Barack Obama going up to the UN, and all of a sudden, this guy has tiptoed through the tulips for 5 years. He's been probably one of the most passive presidents we've ever had, and now all of a sudden this guy decides to grow a set after 5 years so that he can go into Syria. This is another problem we have. We don't have strong male leaders anymore. We have a bunch of effeminate bureaucrats. And David, I really want you to kind of do a lead off as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been following that whole thing too, and we definitely need some, you know, leaders with some balls or whatever for some, you know, but at the same time, people got to really empower themselves and realize that for so long we've been giving our power away, both men and women equally, to these different establishments and these corrupt politicians and bureaucrats and the whole, you know, system itself. And so there's been, I think, an agenda, and if you can track it throughout history, to feminize men, to, you know, masculinize women, and to keep us in a state of imbalancement, and basically where we're not aligned with our true intuition and our you know, our natural leanings or any of our instincts. And so when you're watching what's going on, I personally view what's going on the political stage as just that, as a stage. And basically what we're seeing is just some posturing on behalf of the U.S. because they have to right now. They've got to really sell this card if they want to try to get this off the ground. And so as much as I'd like to say that it'd be good to have some leaders that have some, are confident, we got to be careful where those leaders are going to be taking us. And the only way we can really do that is if we stop putting our hope and our faith and all of our rights and freedoms into the hands of these people and really start taking it back for ourselves. And that's just the way I see it.
Vinny, back to you.
Well, I don't see it as being a problem that's of our own making. That's the thing, you know. You've got to take responsibility for yourself, but you've also got to admit the things that were outside of your control, outside of your influence. And the whole feminist movement, it's come out was, and we've mentioned this because this is Man Talk Project 3, episode right. 3, more or less. I hope it's a hell of a lot better than Iron Man 3, but
we'd hope for so much more there.
Yeah, and one of the points that I've raised. To hear it, the feminist movement was indeed funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and the feminist magazines and so on and so forth were financed by the CIA. So, think about that. You've got one of the most corrupt murder incorporated organizations known to man, the CIA, and one of the most dangerous eugenicist promotion organizations known to man, the Rockefeller Foundation, funding women's liberation. And you think that it's actually doing it to liberate women? You do realize that these people are satanic scum, right? And that almost everything that they do is the direct opposite of what they say it is.
Right. And the whole thing was
women's liberation.
Yeah, this is all social engineering.
Can I please finish? Ergo, women's liberation is actually about women's enslavement. Okay, here's how you know that it's women's enslavement. How many women got taxed before women's liberation? None. How many women got taxed after women's liberation? All of them. Okay? It's as simple as that. Once you're being taxed, you're a slave, a debt slave of some kind, and you're fracked. And that was part of the agenda. The other part of the agenda is, how much divorce was there before women's liberation? How many, illegitimate children and so on and so forth was there before women's liberation? Very little. What about now? It's actually the majority. So Simultaneously, you get to enslave an extra 50% of the population, and you get to break down the family unit, the nuclear family, which was once the source of strength of everybody. I mean, this is what happened before welfare. If you lost your job, you'd go and stay with your family, wouldn't you? Strong family unit, you know, you got brothers, you got sisters, you got a father, you got a mother, and you got everybody looking out for each other. Now, what you got is nothing. And the only thing you've got left to be dependent on is the state, which the Rockefellers in part control.
Yeah, again, this is a very long-term social engineering project. Hello? Can you hear me, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we've got
I'm here, Randy. I think there's just a little bit of a connection interruption there.
Yeah, there's a lot of latency on the Skype, so hopefully we'll just... Sorry, because I know I was stepping over Vinny at one point.
Is that better?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're spanning, you know, from United States to New Zealand, and David's up in Canada, so the Skype appears to be spotty tonight.
No, that was probably just me. I had a editing program open on the web. I've just closed it now. Is that a bit better?
Seems to be, yeah. It's more real time now. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. That was actually
no
my
problem.
Bad.
Like I said, this is a loose show, and I want it to be comfortable. So, you know, the way I've looked at this for a long time, it was the social engineering that was actually engineered out of Tavistock. And it was part of the long-range program. And I think we talked about this in previous shows as well, the, you know, what occurred in the 1960s when they kicked in, you know, full-tilt social engineering, all the things that went on here in the United States. For good or for bad, however you view these things, you had the rise of birth control. You had the Supreme Court decision, which ultimately legalized abortion, which, again, I'm not taking a stand on that in this particular episode, but I will say that it was all part of landmarks that kind of ticked on. And you're right. I mean, women in the workplace, women going to work, doubled the government's tax revenues, and it cut in half the American family, which then spawned this whole generation of children who basically grew up in front of TV sets or in daycare centers. Another atrocity itself, the whole daycare center thing, because look what's happened with those in terms of massive child abuse and cult child running and things like that. I mean, we just opened up a house of horrors.
Yeah, I remember I used to look after autistic boys, and you get very little training, virtually zero oversight, and that was something that scared me about that job, is that, oh my God, how many other people are there that are looking after these very vulnerable kids who could possibly take advantage of the situation and with no oversight, and your victims can't speak or communicate accurately? It's just a breeding ground for scumbaggery. And I think this is what the whole system has really turned into. I mean, let's think about like the difference economic depression during the depression versus nowadays. Back then, there were strong family units. Back then, people knew how to repair their own clothes. Back then, people grew their own food. Still, 10 million people starved to death in the United States. You imagine you have a massive depression now. How many of those do the modern people have? Maybe about 5%, 10% of people walking the earth today can grow their own food. 90% of them live in cities and don't. Just imagine how much power and independence has been taken away from us very, very slowly. How little skill we have left that actually gives us some form of facilitated independence. It's almost all gone. It's not by accident. It's to make everybody completely dependent. I mean, now, I forget who told me this. Over 50% of Americans are receiving some kind of government benefit.
Yeah. They've expanded it so much now. And really, you know, the depression's here, but it's not talked about. I've called it for a long time now, soft hit. Since 2008, we've just watched it gradually float until it hit the economic area that you could no longer define this as a recession. You would say this is a prolonged depression, but what it's hitting is it's hitting the lower middle class and the middle class itself here. You know, the upper class is doing great. The bureaucrats, the government.
It's a feeding frenzy, a lovely scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we weren't playing Monopoly before, you know, right from the founding of this financial fraud that was pulled over everybody's eyes, and this goes back, you know, right from the founding of the Federal Reserve, et cetera, you know, this is all basic for people, but, you know, look at it now. Look at basically the fact that we're definitely playing Monopoly now. I agree with you, it did collapse. They're just finding a new way to keep stimulating it and keep building up this myth that the system has to keep running. And I think that's what they wanted, so that it would be an easier situation for them to milk the system, to, you know, basically turn everything into bring everything into the big multinational corporations. You're shutting down more and more of the smaller businesses. This is what happened back during the Great Depression. And to sort of add to the point about how we've been controlled as a society and how that's worked, the tactic has changed. And when you talk to experts about this, they'll tell you the same thing, that when you look back in history, you know, monarchs and rulers ruled by force, and they had massive, you know, forced slavery. It was all out in the open. There wasn't, they didn't have the need for that amount of clandestine activity as they do today. Whereas now, it seems more the program of a psychological type of control. And this flows very well into what we've been discussing over these last three shows with this whole war against women, war against men. And there's very specific ways that they seem to work on that. And it's very much psychological. And a lot of it comes from the media. It comes from all of these institutions. And it's just this mindset that's there, where now you look at people, and Vinny was bringing up how, you know, people today would not be able to survive something like the Great Depression that happened prior, because of how reliant we are on this modern technology and all these systems. Most people just know how to navigate through their iPhone and their iPad, and they have no idea how to plant seeds in the ground and you know, to grow food and sustain themselves if the power grid ever shut down. So they've absolutely been castrating our ability, really, kind of self-reliance or to have any kind of real survival mechanism. And I just see it as they went from a period of having a physical control, physical chains, to now it's more of a sort of a psychology. It's a psychic control, ultimately.
Which is, in general, a lot more effective because it requires much less manpower.
Exactly.
The pharaohs figured this out long ago, that if you wanted to intimidate people, you really ultimately want them to just sort of ostracize each other who speaks out, kind of thing, you know. That guy's talking about freedom and independence and so on and so forth. Just shut up, go back to being a slave. And incidentally, that's kind of what's happening. I'll go to a protest and I'll be talking about how the criminals run the country, okay? Like basically, that's what people have got to the criminals own the legal system. They own the justice system. They create all the laws. These aren't law-abiding citizens who are doing this. They're frickin' criminals. They're dangerous criminals who follow no law, no ethics, no morality, okay? And the guy comes up to me and he says, "Why don't you go get a job?" And I go, "Why?" And I go, "Why? So I could be a slave like you? So I can so I can get up out of my slave bed and my slave block and put on my slave tie and my slave jacket and go in and jump in my slave car, get in the slave traffic and go to my slave job so that I can obey my slave master, so that I can get my slave pay and then get back into the slave traffic and come home to my slave wife and my slave kids and plug into the slave television? Frack that!"
Yeah, Vinny, break down the tie. You had a really good post the other day about the origin of the tie.
The origin of the tie. Well, it's a Freemason thing. When they're indoctrinating you into Freemasonry, the first thing, it's called a cable tow in Freemasonry. Tow, like T-O-W, like they're towing you around. And the symbolic gesture of wearing a tie around your neck is akin to having a umbilical cord. It's meant to guide you through the darkness of the womb into the light of the world, and it's got a knot around it, so it doubles as a noose. So when you're being inducted into the Masonic order, they have this cable tow around your neck, lead you around, and that's basically where the tie comes from. So it symbolizes the dominance of somebody over you to guide your life while you're blindfolded. Okay, that's what a tie means. I'm wearing a tie, therefore I'm blindfolded and being led around by somebody else, because at the end of the day, I'm still an infant poking around in the darkness of the womb.
And that's such a good analogy when we were talking about how they've sort of switched strategies in the modern era, where back in the day, that tie probably would have been a real shackle to some, you know, gang of slaves, whereas today it's symbolic and it's psychological, but a lot of people don't even realize it.
Well, people don't realize as well that when you're wearing a tie, you have to wear a collared shirt. And when you're wearing a collared shirt, it's usually got cufflinks, right? So you're walking around with cuffs around your wrist, a collar around your neck, and a leash. And you think that you're free.
Exactly.
The greatest bondage right now, the way I see it from my perspective, and I see upper middle class business Americans every day, is their debt. These are people who are in huge amounts of debts, big cars, big houses, kids in expensive colleges, and they are completely bought into the corporate system because that's where their money is right now. And it's the same thing with big government. I live in a government town, so I see a lot of people who are government people. And it's the same class of people, and they're really a separate class of people now. Corporate America, I will call them corporate government America. And I'm sure that's the same around the globe. Maybe you guys can kind of inform that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm here in Canada, and I'm seeing the scales tipping big time here, and what I see is the fact that when you look at how advertising works, it's creating this mindset that there's nothing wrong, everything okay, just keep going to work, working your slave job, consuming, you know, this is what you need to purchase, and this is the clothes you need to wear, this is the attitude you have to have in order to be accepted, in order to be cool, or whatever it is, and that's totally created. That's totally Madison Avenue created, and yet people are going out there. These men are getting up every day, putting their tie and their cufflinks on, and they're going to work, trying to bring home the money so that they can sustain the illusion of having all of these things. And the only way to have these cars and these houses, and you know, a lot of the wives, you know, the women, they're out there putting pressure that, you know, you've got to provide, you got to be the man, go out there and provide. But it's there's not enough money to going around anymore. The economy is completely demolished, and more people are going homeless all the time. I see it even here. Less jobs, they're not coming back. Everything's being automated. And basically, these men are just having to go and take out debt and take out loans and put this credit on their credit cards in order to sustain this illusion of a lifestyle, which means they get to feel like they're out there providing and that they own that car and that they provided that for their family. But at the same time, really, the reality is no, the bank owns it and they own your ass, and so does your employer. So it's about funneling the energy that would be there for men to go out and provide, and funneling that into not providing for your family, but providing for this system, providing for these banks, providing for these corporations, and ultimately providing another cell block for your own enslavement. That's just the way I see it.
Man provide, own enslavement.
Exactly.
Well, that
but they feel empowered when they do it, but it's just an illusion, you know?
Speaking of when was the last time you actually lit a fire? Right, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was like, man, make fire.
Well, people call the cops on you, though.
And it's just people that do. It actually just feels awesome.
It's primal.
Like just
it's
lighting
very
a fire.
Primal. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We just had a fire out on our deck the other night because it's getting cooler here. We had one over the weekend in a rainstorm just to warm things up. But what you just touched on there is something very primal. Our sustenance no longer comes from the elements the way we knew them. It doesn't
That's
come
right.
from the ground and the sky and the earth, the elements in nature. It comes from the elements that have now been filtered through this technocratic system that we have. Our money is artificial. Our sustenance, our food, our entire ecosystem that we live in has been completely engineered around us in a way that we didn't have even in my early childhood days. I mean, I don't remember the cocooning the way it is now.
Yeah, and I think what we've shielded ourselves from the elements. You know, we enclose ourselves in these walls, we've got the heaters going on and so on and so forth. So we've replaced a lifestyle meant to be living in perpetual balance with the elements, and we've traded it for an element of scumbaggery, an element of indecency, and an element of enslavement, isn't it? And we've done it to ourselves. The thing is, the path has been put before us. It's been put before all of us. And the only reason why any of us have even strolled down this path is because we were told that it's the correct path, right? It's like that scene in The Labyrinth, where she comes across these two doors, and they're guarded by these two guardsmen. And one of the guardsmen always tells the truth, and one of the guardsmen always lies. How do you find out which door to go through? And the answer is, you've actually got to ask a question. What would he tell me is the correct door to go through? Okay, so if I were to go up to, let's say, a school teacher who knows nothing about the system, is totally just living within it, it'll then Philip, okay, who's well connected, has founded the Trilateral Commission and so on and so forth. What door should I go through? And let's say Rockefeller was actually telling me the truth. He'd say, don't go through the door that everybody tells you to. Honestly. Because the easiest path that we've all been had ahead of us is the one that's been told to us over and over again. You've got, like I said earlier, get a job. Getting a job is what makes you productive. Actually, no. Creating wealth is what fuels you. Putting your creative ideas and making something tangible out of them, bringing into existence that which does not yet exist, doing that which other people have not thought of yet, creating things that have yet to be created. That is, in fact, the real through life path on any kind of sustenance to the human soul. And unfortunately, there is very few people telling you that. Reason why is because so few people know about this path. Because anybody who knows it gains power through that recognition of that system, because it is the direct opposite of everything that you get taught from daycare through high school through college and so on and so forth throughout your jobs and everything, is that you don't have any power. You're not in charge. You don't get to ask that question. Mark Twain once said, if you ever wanted to find out what's running society, just find out what it is you're not allowed to question. And there's your answer.
Well, exactly. And then also, when you go back and look at any of the great teachers and people that actually were resisting the mainstream system at their time, and going out there and trying to educate people about what you're talking about, Vinny, about having that individual critical thinking ability to actually just ask those big questions for you.
Well, David,
whether it's religious, whether it's political, whether it's some group or whatever.
The power,
right?
Of this. Yeah, yeah. And the controlling group recognizes that anybody who has that kind of independence, that creativity, becomes a threat to them. So naturally, they buy out the governments, they buy out the public school systems, they influence them in many, many different ways in order to teach people the direct opposite of the truth. Because if you knew the truth, they wouldn't be able to wield its power over you.
Well, that's right. And then just when you look at the people that were doing that throughout history, you'll see how they were treated. You'll see that most of them were imprisoned, tortured, killed, you know, and from Mikhail Bakunin to Gandhi to, you know, anybody that was trying to start some kind of revolution of some kind, you know, you'll just look at how they're treated. And now we have more people because of the internet. We have more and more people out there that are trying to teach and communicate this knowledge. I mean, all three of us here, we host radio shows, and we do a valuable service because we're actually providing a platform for some of these great people to come on and share the knowledge that they have, and then let the listener decide at the end of the day. There, this kind of format wasn't available in the past. So even though we are in this situation now, I'm very optimistic in the sense that we have access to these forms of communication. There are great teachers out there today. There are more than we've ever seen before, and we are starting to unite more. And I think that we just got to get a little bit more street smart about it. But overall, it's a good sign to see that there's so many radio shows, there's so many Facebook pages, YouTube channels, alternative newspapers, all kinds of groups, you know, protest groups and everything. And there's more of a movement of that now than ever. And, you know, so I'm ultimately optimistic about it. But I just look back at history, and you know for a fact that there is a system in place. I think somebody... It was Neil Kramer or someone who said it like this. He just said, there's always been an empire. It's the same empire. It just changes its robes throughout history. You know, so we know that this is there. It's just now's the time for especially these younger generations that are coming in, and they're being indoctrinated into this whole try to build the future. And they're going to have to carry this forward for us.
I guess one of my concerns in doing this, and I've been on radio for over 10 years continuously, and on the internet continuously for 7 in different venues, but I wonder, we have all this information, we have all these enabling networks together now, and all of this is great. Are we empowering people, or are we giving them simply a steam valve? In other words, doing what we do, do you as talk show hosts see a mobilization for people to act in ways that are changing their lifestyle, changing their patterns?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because today I interviewed a woman named Kerry Campbell, who withdrew $15 million from a local Taranaki bank here. And that kind of jazz. And she successfully did it, and it's created huge fanfare around here in New Zealand, and then set up a number of different avenues to take your power back and indeed frack up the court system for all they're worth. And she got kidnapped by the cops. They tried to break her arm, tried to break her wrist, tried to break her fingers, tried to completely destroy her. And they didn't. And guess where she learned this information first off, and started going about doing her own research and empowering herself in order to actually take on the very system and take the bull by the horns? It was my show.
Yeah.
So yes, I do believe I'm empowering people. The thing is, everybody plays their own role.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like on the battlefield. Okay, you've got your specialist spec ops kind of people. You've got your frontline grunts. You've got your cooks. You've got your transport drivers, and so on and so forth. Everybody plays their own little role, and if anybody fails in their own little role, people die. Being a radio show, being part of the propaganda network of the war against the New World Order, is an important and invaluable role. For without our particular branch of propaganda, just remember, propaganda isn't necessarily a lie. There's different types of it. What they call white propaganda, which is telling the truth, and black propaganda, which is telling lies. And both methodologies are to convince people of a particular ideal or a particular thought or whatever in order to get them to do what you want. I propagandize my audience to let them know that they don't need propaganda anymore. They don't need me. All they need is their own self, their own power, and their own ability to listen and discern, and their own willingness to actually go out and really affect change, knowing for a fact that ain't nobody going to help you. Nobody's going to do it for you. You are alone in all of this. Guess what? That's enough. You have no idea just how powerful you are until you go out and start doing something, thinking that you don't need any help. Sometimes you fall on your ass and you go, well, I did need a little bit of help.
Yeah. David, do you have any thoughts on that?
then you get emboldened.
Oh yeah, no, I think Vinny was just finishing up a point, but
yeah, just to point out for the listeners too, we're having Skype difficulties specifically with Vinny's line, and when we take the break, we'll reconnect and try and clean that up. We got a little bit, well, we got over 20 minutes left, so hopefully we can manage that. But what Vinny was just talking about, he's seeing people that are now taking on the system in ways, and that's pretty big. I mean, the story he just told was huge. But it, even at the level of where people are just beginning to realize that this is a war and that in order to win it, we're going to have to be stronger, smarter, and be able to move a little better than we have in the past.
Yeah, Randy, I think the way I see it is that there's no way that the average person in their current state can actually take on the system effectively until the first themselves. In order, they have to empower themselves with information. Some of that information is going to be enlightening, and mm-hmm. some of that information is going to be quite scary, and it's going to seem to be negative on the surface, but it all serves its purpose. And what we're really trying to get people to understand by doing what we do, and I'm speaking for myself, but I know that you guys do a great job of this as well, is just to point to the truth, point to it. We're not trying to say we have it, we own it, we know everything. We're just trying to have a way of bringing people's attention to stuff they would have never looked at before. And when you start going on that kind of a road and that journey, it's a tough one. I know for myself, it's been like a roller coaster ride. And some things you're going to read and you're going to research, you're going to find out, and you're going to have that eureka moment, and it's going to be like, wow, that's incredible. You know, the size of the universe is infinite, and we are linked to all of that or whatever. And then some of the revelations are going to be like, holy crap, we are in a total controlled police state. And so it's a mixed bag. And I think that it's important to show people both sides of the coin, but we are in a war, and we don't have as much time to sit there and prance through the fields and try to go through this in a really soft kind of, okay, reassuring way. We've got to give people the facts now, because as this situation unfolds, if people even heard one thing that we've been saying, and went and did at least 5 to 10 minutes of research a day on some of these topics, then they're going to start to see through the lie. And if they can see through the lie, and at the same time they can learn to empower themselves and find that courage and that primal instinct again, men can find their real manhood, women can really discover what it is to be a true empowered woman, then at that level, then we are affecting change. And I can echo what Vinny has said. I get feedback all the time from people that are listening to the show or the other work I'm doing, or even following a lot of the people that I feature on the show, and just telling me how much it's impacted them and how much it's changed. And then I see them go start radio shows and start going on YouTube and blogging and just expressing their opinion. And so I start to see that for me personally, I've just seen nothing but good things from when I just decided to get on there and express my opinion. So I just keep encouraging people to do the same.
Yeah. It's sort of like you're looking at a pond and it's very still. We're the ones who are chucking rocks into the dream pool and making the ripples that affect everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a ripple. Like, you can't, we know for a fact you can't do it yourself. But when you first learn this, you're like, I want to go out there and get this fixed, like ASAP. I want to do whatever I can. But only when there's a collective action of empowered individuals, and there's a big difference there. So like, when you think of collectivism as actually the model that the New World Order is trying to work with, they want collectivism. They want people in groups where they can have a leader, and then all the other that leader and can direct our movement. So what we need is collective action on behalf of humanity, but that has to be action done by empowered individuals. You know, I use this example even when I think of my relationships. You're not going to have a strong relationship if you have one person being the one that's rowing the boat, you know, because that boat's just going to keep going in circles. You need both people in that relationship to be empowered and both, you know, working through their issues together and coming to equal ground. And if you're going to start expanding and adding more people to that dynamic, the bigger that group becomes, the easier it ultimately can be to have infiltrators and to have someone try to lead that group away. So I think that by trying to speak to the individual, we can empower people on that level, get them to find out who they are again and ask those questions, then when we do get to that point where there is going to be a proper collective action, I think we'll get it right this time, you know, because in history, these things have constantly been taken over. So I hope that this is the age where we finally get it.
And that really goes to the heart of a lot of what I think we've done in these three shows that we've done together. This is not a man versus woman, male versus female issue. It is about rebalancing the equation and making each one stronger in their particular areas. There are differences between us that are actually our strengths. Women need the physical strength of men, the particular abilities that men have that are peculiar to them. Men need intuition, balance, the softer side, the heart that a well-balanced female will bring to it. So we're not talking about schismatics here. We're talking about realigning the entire dynamic of masculine and feminine.
It's called symmetry. You know, I mean, it's like, let's say you've got two hands, okay, and let's say you're holding a pistol with one of those hands. How accurate is your aim going to be? How much strength do you have to resist the recoil when a projectile is fired? Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you're holding that same pistol with two hands, much more strength. Much more accuracy. That's the male and the female coming together to operate something such as a weapon. Okay? And I don't think that people recognize that very simple kind of paradigm, is that when you're living in a symbiotic relationship, you have to play your part in that relationship. Otherwise, it matters not the symmetry, you're going to fall apart. And I believe that this is part of the reason why we have an over 50% divorce rate in America and other Western countries around the world, whereas in Arabia, for example, divorce is virtually unheard of. They have the highest level of education for women in the world, in the Middle East, and that kind of thing, child abuse, rape, things of this nature. They get demonized in the media all the time. Oh my God, all this is going on and towards women. It does happen, but it actually happens a lot less in those societies than the ones that we call civilized. Don't you find that interesting? It's because the thing that actually bound families together, as far as my research has included, was actually a lot of religious connotations. The founding fathers were often very religious people, and of course they were all Freemasons, but the family units within the United States at the time were kept together, and the country itself had a perceptible moral high ground because those families would be together every single night reading the Bible. And something tells me that the massive outpouring of... have you noticed how much frickin' Satanism and nihilism and atheism and the rise of this lack of belief, a lack of faith, a lack of morality, moral, what's it called, flexible morality, where really there isn't any such, there's supposed to be morals and immorals. That's as far as the dichotomy works for me. There's no real such thing as flexible morals. There are things that are acceptable in society and things that are not. And these people who believe that paradigm doesn't really exist often promote the things that are immoral. Have you noticed that? This is what's happening. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be hardcore religious in order to be a good family man. If anything, religion and spirituality have become mutually exclusive. Mm. I don't think that they have a whole lot of relevance anymore in many ways in the modern society. However, there is that very core value, that set of Ten Commandments, which seem like perfectly reasonable rules. And people believe that because there's some BS in there, because there's some hokey rituals and things of that nature which they don't like, that therefore the whole thing is bunk. And I believe that this is part of a satanic agenda in order to get people away from faith, get people away from God, get away from morals, so that they can raise children in a society where belief is looked down upon as insanity, where morality is looked down upon as weakness, and strength is looked down upon as just being freaking out of your mind.
Well, and you raise incredibly good points with this, and we do have to make the distinctions now between religion and spirituality. And I think, you know, some of what I've heard David talk about, he's kind of, in his work, helped to sort of redefine some new spiritual paradigms. But the religious aspects of it, not so much as just the idea that we are spiritually bound to each other. You brought up something about right and wrong, morality, but our laws, our legal system now is completely inverted. On the one hand, we're ruled over by a criminal armed gang, I mean armed to the teeth to take out entire countries, who can murder, slaughter, rape, pillage, and loot on the turn of a click. And on the other hand, you have around the world political prisoners, people who are accused of victimless crimes. In the United States, we have an astronomical population of black males in prison, largely because of their social conditions and the fact that they were, for the most part, set up in things where they were doing crimes that had no victim. We have laws that are insane now. Everything's a crime against the state.
Almost it's everything in this too. Society is completely insane. I think that's the point, is you have to realize that you're the sane person in an insane world. You're the decent man in an indecent time.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I mean, the same. It's interesting dynamic, actually, when they're putting those double standards out in front of your face that you're bringing up there, Randy, because if you think now, where they are told by their parents not to do the things that their parents are actually doing. So everything that you see, you know, children doing, they're just really copying and trying to emulate what they're learning and what they're seeing. You know, they just want to. That's what they're taught. That's what they want to express. But the parents, on the other hand, are saying, well, no, you can't do it, but I can do it. And this is because I'm an adult, and of course I know what I'm doing, and you're young, and I'm sure a lot of parents mean well by it, but it's that same dynamic within the system where they will say, you can't do this, it's illegal. You can't grow cannabis in your backyard because that plant has been deemed illegal. Mm-hmm. But yeah. At the same time, all of our politicians are out at coke and prostitution parties, and you know that's all good to go. No, don't worry, and just keep going. You know, back to work, keep paying taxes and fines for all the laws that we've set in place for you. This also goes with religion as well, and this goes into politics. It goes into education, where there's a double standards that's there. A lot of these priests and a lot of these people at the heads of these religions, they don't get off the same plate that they're serving you. They teach you the surface level of this ancient knowledge that's been bastardized for thousands of years. And then for themselves, a lot of them follow their own religious ideas, which, you know, are very linked to Satanism and nihilism and all these different things. But on the surface level, they're that bright, shining light in the community, and they're out there serving the community and raising money for all these charities that are all owned by the royal establishment. And, you know, so there's a double face, there's a two-face system in place. And I don't think they're trying to hide that. I think that's a psychological attack. I think they put it right in front of your face because it creates that dynamic that is there in, say, an abusive relationship. Where how many people, I mean, you know, women, for example, they might be being physically abused by their husband, but for whatever reason, they stick to them like glue, and they'll fight to the end to stay with this person, even though they're in a situation of abuse. So there's a double standard that's there. Well, look at us. We're being abused like that by the system, blatantly. It's blatantly honest. And there's anybody listening that hasn't seen that yet, you really just got to look around it. We don't need to sit from providence in front of you. Just look around you and see the double standard. And when you recognize that and realize that there's a psychological element there that they get you hooked into that, and you start accepting that, you know, well, that's prison. And then they can always get off on the whole, well, you were the one that voted me in. You were the one that gave me the money. You were the one that supported it and didn't do anything about it. So therefore, I have every right to go ahead and keep engaging in those activities. So I think that consciousness is really the only thing, expanding the awareness and seeing the lie for what it is. That's really the only hope we've got.
Well, and also everybody wants to follow this, follow that, be part of this, be part of that, rather than owning themselves. Okay, so what happens is people will believe that one paradigm is true, then find out that it's a lie, and then go to the other side of the paradigm, which is also a lie. So, for example, somebody who is part of a satanic cult, and I've seen videos like this online, somebody's part of a satanic cult, and they realize that it's really freaking evil, and that they really don't want to be a part of it. So they become a hardcore Christian Bible basher terrorist.
Yeah, they call it the extreme.
It's like, dude, you know, you go into one paradigm, and there's always another paradigm to catch you when you fall from it, okay?
Exactly.
When the reality is you're only supposed to fall halfway into realizing that the sides of every major argument that's ever been going on throughout your entire life are big freaking lies. Like what's happening right now in New Zealand is that people are getting really effed off with the alleged right-wing party, the national government, who's headed by former Federal Reserve banker, Mr. Prime Minister John Key, and they instead now going, you know what, this guy's been doing terrible stuff to the country, let's vote for Labour, the red team, with a guy who is educated at Harvard and lives in a really swanky suburb just like the current Prime Minister John Key. Okay, and you can see that the popularity kind of shifting between one false paradigm to another. Stop being suckers, for frack's sake. They're trying to kill you and enslave you. And here's another interesting thing. The American Medical Journal stated that it was doing a study of psychopaths, right? What does a psychopath look like? What do they act like? Well, they're normally very enchanting and smiling and personable when you first meet them, but they don't have any long-lasting relationships outside of some kind of a pretext, like a business position or something of that nature. Really? What industries are these people likely to cluster towards? Well, they desire power and control, so naturally they head into business, entertainment, politics, medicine, law, and religion. What would you say are some of the most influential and controlling aspects of society? Now, is it any wonder that society has gone completely insane? It's because the completely insane people in society are the ones running it. They're the ones that control your perception of reality. They're the ones that dictate your economy, who pick your leaders. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, and as a result of that, the so-called normal people, the people who are, I guess, being ruled over, are in a constant state of trauma. Because you look at the system, you look at who succeeds, and you see who does the handshake, wears the ties, drives the nice car, lives in the big house, and you go, gosh, there must be something wrong with me. I worked hard. I'm smart. I'm kicking in. And suddenly you realize that you kind of have this victim mentality, which then spins it in another direction. Now you're pissed off, and you're just as ineffective being pissed off, but at least you're a little bit more empowered. But the way I see people responding now is I'm watching people who are just in a blank state. They're almost now like they know it's horrible. They know it sucks. They know this thing is going down the tube fast. They see that everything's corrupt, and they're just numb.
It's like that song, Comfortably Numb, but
there's
nothing comfortable about it. And this is absolutely everything. If you read Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited, you'll realize that, you know, this was something that was in the pipeline for a long time, was to get people in exactly that state of mind, like a deer in the headlights. You're seeing the train coming, but you have zero. And the psychopaths that are there, there's one thing about the psychopathic mindset, and that is there's a certain ruthlessness, and they have a very, very deep discipline. And discipline in that sense is not in a moral sense. It's in a sense of being extremely committed to whatever goal they have, because they have an insatiable desire to be at the top of the pile, no matter what, be at the bottom, because that's exactly where they're wanted to be. Because those are the people that really do have the real power, but we're at the disadvantage of maybe having some empathy and some compassion. And so you don't want to go out there and stomp on somebody's fingers in order to get to the top. You don't want to go out there and somebody's throat. You don't want to go out there and you know, embezzle money and do all of those things. You're not capable of doing it. So therefore you'll work the, you know, blue collar jobs, or you'll be the one out of business. You'll be the one struggling for money. And those guys willing to go out there and do that and sell their souls, literally, they're going to be the ones that rise to the top. And, you know, Vinny said it right. That's exactly the situation that we're in.
Yeah. People don't get the analogy. All right, you have a look at a stagnant pond. Where does the scum accumulate? It accumulates at the top. Well, what happens when you've got scum accumulated at the top to the point where it covers all, the entire pond? Well, it means that everything beneath the waterline, everything that was once alive, everything that once received the light of the sun and all the nutrients and so on and so forth that it provides, everything dies. Everything. Unless we remove the scum from the top of this pond of humanity, everything will die.
I love that. That's good.
Randy, we should be taking a break right about that.
We definitely should. We're going to do that. We're going to disconnect lines because I know it's been skipping out a lot, so Skype's been problematic. Yeah, let's do that now. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. We will talk more about the subjects related to empowerment, not just of men, but of women, of human beings around the planet, and how we need to get our shit together so that we can throw off this monstrous psychopathic system. We'll do that. We'll take it all on. Second hour off Planet Radio Live. We'll be back in 7 or 8 minutes.
there are things that I do not. Various possible futures are happening simultaneously. I can tell you all of them, but I cannot tell you which one of them will come to pass, because every action causes ripples. Consequences both obvious and unforeseen.
God, I so needed to hear that song. I needed some rock and roll, a little adrenaline for the second hour of Off Planet Radio Live. The final Wednesday night show. This is September 25th, 2013, somewhere in planet Earth. And we have with us tonight two talk show hosts with, in a lot of ways, we're all very different people. We come from different kind of environments and the way we work, but the harmony between this is the viewpoints that we share, and that is empowerment. It's not about men, it's not about women, but it's about both of those, and it's also about the human race and the fact that we really need to get up on our hind feet and get our brains engaged, our bodies working, and our emotions stabilized so that we have the ability to begin to throw off this vampiric system, which is sucking the life out of almost everybody here. And I welcome back for the second hour David Whitehead and Vinny Eastwood. Good evening and welcome back, guys.
Hey, Randy.
It's good to be here. Marvelous to be back for a full second hour. You know, I was just how many of these shows we've done. We've done two so far, but did about 2 hours apiece, once on my show, once on David's. Now it's once on Randy. So it's got the kind of trifecta and also the sort of isosceles triangle kind of feel to it, with a little thing like the topicals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you've got that going on. Hey, the triad is a perfection, so... you know, a lot
it's
of
the strongest shape in nature, in or something.
It is.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, we use it a lot in the art of jiu-jitsu. We use the triangle format and the for stances, for posturing when you're in different, you know, grappling positions. So it's interesting how we prove it all the time. You know, how the different you have to have a good stable base point. And so, yeah, definitely the triangle. It really is the strongest structure.
See, the occultists stole all this stuff from us. They turned it into something evil. These symbols and all these numbers and things, they have meaning to us, and we've lost that connection with sacred geometry and with symbolism.
Well, it's just a science that they've co-opted and turned into something that, you know, can be used nefariously, you know, but it's just knowledge that can be used by anybody. They just don't want the average person to have it. They want to keep it to themselves.
What they've done is they've removed the science and the mathematics from the way the world truly works in the spiritual sense, and instead asked people to trust them, that it's about belief, that there isn't something rigid about our universe that we can actually control and influence, provided we know the messages, the structure, and the numbers, and all of these other different aspects of our physical day-to-day lives. These things actually really hold a lot of power. Symbols have a immense effect, not only upon what you see and associate with in terms of the meaning of a symbol, but there is actually a real palpable effect, you know, chemically sort of thing on people, and it has a very, very profound influence on the way that you get your way through the world. And what I've been doing recently, guys, is I've been watching movies, okay? You know, illegally downloaded movies. And been trying to dig this. Imagine if you watched maybe a couple of movies a week, maybe three, four movies a week. And for each movie that you're watching, you're analyzing very specifically for any kind of all-seeing eyes or Masonic tiled floors or things of that nature all over the place. Okay? That's what I've been doing for the past couple of months. And I have exactly 118 screenshots of movies full of Masonic symbolism. All kinds of movies. Kids' movies, horror movies, crime, action, sci-fi, everything. It is all loaded with the Illuminati symbolism and the 666 and the number 33 and all of this other sort of stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but didn't Edward Bernays come up with product placement in film and so on and so forth? And now,
yep,
what we have is the product of the alleged Illuminati and subterfugious motherfuckers and Freemasonry the whole way through cinema. Now, it's not just cinema either. It's also throughout all the video games. They use particular phrases, like, for example, have you ever heard in a movie or a video game, order out of chaos, or something to that relation? Of course you have. It's in so many of them.
Some of them even call that.
Yeah. And it's the 33rd degree motto. Every degree of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, mind you, that's the bad one. The rest of Freemasonry, absolutely nothing wrong with it, as far as I can tell, apart from the fact that they keep secrets and so on and so forth, which, you know, doesn't make them exactly transparent, but there's nothing really wrong with that. They don't hurt nobody. But what happens is you get this massive influence subtly in every single aspect of your viewing and gaming pleasure. All these things that you distract yourself with time after time are loaded with all these symbols, just a little bit here or there, so you never get wise to them, and they only appear for a second or two.
but they're there nonetheless. And every single thing that comes into your field of vision that you're not consciously aware of, automatically your brain goes back and puts it into the subconscious. Because when you're watching television, when you're watching a computer screen, it takes about 30 seconds. And you switch from the beta waves, which are the logical, analytical, kind of very awake, aware part of the brain. And it switches you over to alpha waves, the other side of the brain, where it's all colors and mesmerization. And so it literally puts you into a trance. They've got the flash rate, I think at about something like 52 flashes per second or whatever, the flicker rate of the actual design of the television sets, up to exactly the right level where your conscious mind cannot fully process the things that you are seeing, and it puts you into a submissive dream state and prepares you to accept subliminal information. This is part of a very, very wide mind control agenda. And what's funny is, it's one of the most obvious ones when you really think about it. Once you get told what to look for, you start seeing it everywhere. The problem is, because you start seeing it everywhere, you start to think that it really means something. It starts to actually have an effect on you. And then you wonder, all of these symbols and all of these things, and this is coming roundabout way to what I was saying before, do they really have an effect on us? If they didn't, would so much attention be paid to put into virtually all of our entertainment these symbols, gestures, and artifacts? Why would they be doing that if there was no effect whatsoever, considering the expense, the amount of involvement? You know what I mean?
Well, there's absolutely, for sure. They know that there's an effect. They've studied this. You can research this and realize how effective this is. I mean, this is used in commercial advertising to say, get you to believe that you need this new product. You want to look like this. You want to be able to be cool in front of your friends, whatever. They know the colors. They know the tones. They know the tone of voice. You know, actors go to audition specifically because they want that person that has the exact look they're looking for, the way they move their body, the way they speak, the way they interact. They're looking for very, very specific things. And these commercials and these movies and these television shows are scripted right to the nanosecond. And the editing that's done and the product placement and everything else is so specific, it would really boggle the mind. I actually have one of my uncles is actually an editor. He's done editing on some major Hollywood films. And I've had a few conversations with him. And the level of detail that goes into these films, I don't really think people can fully appreciate it. And so there's absolutely a big plan behind it. That doesn't mean everybody involved in making the film knows what's going on. This is something that is done at a very, very, we're talking maybe 5% at the top, you know what I mean, in Hollywood and in these media companies, that they have this repertoire of symbols, colors, and all of this knowledge of how to influence the human mind. And on one level, people can just say, oh, the agenda is just to make money. So they're trying to attract you in, and then that way it feeds the corporations, it feeds everything else. But you really got to pan out and expand in your research so that you can see the bigger picture here. And that is that the subconscious mind is actively running in the background.
Isn't it amazing?
All that stuff that's there for eye candy. There's something there conscious behind that.
It's like subconscious mind sort of fills in the blanks, and they know that, and so they fill the blanks with something they've created.
Yeah, and they know these symbols go back to our ancestral roots. There's a genetic connection to our, you know, genetic ancestors going all the way back into history, which is why they use ancient Babylonian, Egyptian, Sumerian, Akkadian type, like these ancient symbols. And these symbols were actually sacred symbols that were used in these religions of the time, which were there to with the goal of trying to uplift the human spirit. So but when you twist that and you invert the pentagram and you add an additional peak, you know, with an all-seeing eye on top of a pyramid, or you have a certain numerology behind it that changes the whole equation, there's a very subtle way that they turn down its head. And which is the whole point of what you would call Satanism or Luciferianism or whatever name you want to give it. And that is to just be able to turn it on its head so that you're now operating in opposition to nature and to the reason we're here and the whole energy of the universe and the planet and how everything works symbiotically together. If you want to disrupt that and try to control that,
you have to have a deep knowledge of how that works, and they do. And what you're talking about, Vinny, seeing this in the movies, I've got hundreds of examples myself as well, and I bet you we would probably see some of the same things in the same films, but if we got together and compared, we would see that there's a huge library that it would blow people's minds how consistent this is. And you're right, they wouldn't put it in there unless there was a reason for it.
Well, even the symbolic hand gestures that get made, and you see it on magazine covers, and you go, wow, I don't think you really hold your fingers that way. You know, we see this all the time with gestures, and they're well rehearsed. These people, the politicians, the actors, all of them have been trained to move in certain ways and to act in certain ways, and they're very subtle when they're doing their signaling. And a lot of this goes into mind control projects at the level of, to use the most common example, MKUltra. But we know that from the interviews that I've done, and I'm sure you guys have touched on this as well, we know how they trigger people like Manchurian candidates. We know that they use symbols, they use lights, these electrical impulses and frequencies that are all coded in a certain way to trigger not just an entire array of responses like they do in advertising, but in fact trigger an entire alternate personality, which is our culture itself has actually got multiple personality disorder when you look at the programming that's being done through the electronic media now.
I do believe that the electronic age has presented a lot of advantages to mankind and also a lot of dangers.
Yes.
Like, you think about the EMF frequencies that are coming off of all this equipment that were going down. I had a dude in my office who came on the air with me, Paul Will, and he, oh my gosh, he's got a few gadgets, mate. And they start detecting the stuff that's emitting radiation signals and stuff like that around you. The big CD screen that I have behind me during the show most times was putting off like 1,000 lamps or whatever of everything. And when we turned that off, the ambient around here was like around the 260, 300 mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine how much radiation's been coming off people directly off of their TVs. So sitting there, they're zonked out, they're absorbing all bunches of things that basically make no sense, and they're just nonsense. I mean, think about this. You ever heard of the Bernie Mac show, right? Apparently it was like the number one comedy show in America. Now, mm-hmm. me being a New Zealander, I mean, you know, we get American culture, because our culture is American culture to a large degree. Almost all of our shows are like that. And I couldn't fathom how anybody would find any of the jokes even remote clever or funny. And I came up with a very interesting system about watching a sitcom and figuring out whether or not it's funny. When the canned laughter comes in, are you laughing too?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, no. You're not laughing at all. You can go through a whole episode of some of this kind of thing, and the canned laughter will be, you know, 5-10 minutes of it. You won't laugh for one. The stuff is not funny. It's not creative. So just think about the examples. Have you ever seen a movie that really changed your freaking life because of the way that it was made, the images that were projected in front of you, the storyline, the characters you can relate to, that reality, that deep thinking movie, that something that actually you walk away thinking differently of the world,
sure.
Like The Matrix or Fight Club. Incidentally, both of them were made in 1999, and almost every movie since 2000 has been crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the amount of... And tell me, I'm single.
Could you hear him, Randy?
Mind control.
No, he's dropping out badly. We're getting... I don't know. The Skype connection's terrible tonight.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead and go back up on what you were just saying there, David.
Okay, and if I cut out again, just let me know.
Actually, reiterate, it'd be better, because we missed the first half of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I was just saying, you were talking about the Manchurian candidate idea, where they've got this mind control down to a point where they can flip a guy just by saying a certain trigger word or a certain trigger sound or even an image that can flip the switch into this, you know, construct of an alternative personality. And when you actually watch both of those movies, whether it's the old Manchurian Candidate film or the new one, you will see a ton of symbolism that is in those films alone. So they're, what they think they do in these things is they actually communicate it because it's part of ritual magic, really, if you think about it. This is how they do it. They have to disclose what they're doing. They have to do that. And it's also part of a psychotic mindset where they need to tell the victim what's about to happen to them. And there's an energy pull that comes from that. So if they've got us hooked in to their machine and we're contributing our energy to it because we're contributing our focus and our conscious intention to it, then we are actually feeding that program that they're trying to create. So when we're watching these things and we're seeing these symbols, it is important to be aware of it. And when you now look at it from the point of view of researching it, like what Vinny was talking about, you know, going through and actually noticing it and taking the time to document it, there's a different frame of mind than if you're just sitting there unaware of it, passively accepting it into your subconscious, where you are literally being triggered. So then when you go out into the marketplace, or you're online and you're shopping, or you're walking past some sign in the subway terminal, you're being triggered. Those are the triggers that were planted in you previously from watching some commercial, some TV show, some movie. And then all you got to do to understand how this works is just go listen to people's conversations. And what are the topics of the conversations? Words that they're using. Are we even speaking the actual English language? Or are we speaking a sort of form of new speak where this is, especially with the social media, with all of these acronyms like OMG, LOL. I actually have people that look me in the face in front of me and they say LOL. Like, can't you just...
I know. That was... It's funny, the exact same thing happened to me here. Like, I said something funny, my mate went, LOL. Like, bro, you do realize that an actual cackle is more enjoyable than saying the acronym LOL.
Exactly. Well, this is called linguistic reductionism, and it's been ongoing for many, many years. Are vocabularies being taken from us?
Yeah, it's probably just as damaging to our vocabulary as reductionist thinking is to your imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that, actually, here's the main problem with society. There's forward-looking people and backward-looking people. Simple as that. Forward-looking people see a world of knowledge expanding. Backward-looking people see everything getting worse and out of their control and struggle to fight and make things the way they are. Whereas a forward-looking person changes with them and winds up rising on top, which is why the other ones are so frickin' afraid of people like us.
That kind of brings this to an interesting juncture. Let's talk a little bit about strategies that people can employ. There is, like I said, a wave of despair out there in the mainstream. The people that are consuming news on a daily basis from mainstream media, consuming their products from the malls, people who consume their ideas from magazines that have been filtered to them. But for people that are waking up, how do they get themselves up? How do they keep it out there? How do they get motivated to take things to the next level?
If I could just bring up go ahead.
It was a couple of words answering anyway. So get yourself arrested for an unjust crime. There you go. That'll give you motivation.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that the way I for people that are researching this and people that are starting to take a look around at the world and see that something is wrong, and they're also going on that sort of inward journey of trying to discover who they are, trying to get back in balance with nature, getting in harmony with their friends, their family, just expanding their mind and trying to look for solutions to these problems that we have. If you're one of those people that are out there, the first thing that I would say that you can equip yourself in this battle is you have to take on board a proper diet. You have to realize that you've got to power this machine, this physical expression of your consciousness. You need to have it aligned and balanced perfectly. And it is about balance. It doesn't mean you have to go and be some monk living in a cave and you're only eating, you know, like two different things. You can still have a diverse diet, but it's about understanding, you know, getting your pH balance in order, getting your alkalinity level up, having, you know, as much organic food as possible. We're being assaulted physically so that our brains are not able to process this information. And if your body is not able to conduct that higher conscious energy that you are conducting, I mean, you are a transmitter and a receiver of energy. If you're not, if that signal is being blocked by all these toxins and all these things that we're discussing, then you're not going to really have that ability to stay in a positive mindset. So I think that the big thing is get some good exercise. You need to vent this stuff out. Don't just sit there in front of your computer all the time and just, you know, put yourself in a state of depression. Get out there and do a physical activity that you enjoy. For me, I really enjoy hiking, running. You know, I do martial arts. I do other sports and stuff. And it's just a way for me to express energy in a positive way. And if you feel angry, don't bottle it up inside of you. It's meant, you have an anger mechanism built into your being for a reason. And don't shut it off. First thing you can do. But don't just blast some poor schmuck who just happened to get in your way because you're angry. Go out there and vent it in a rational way. And you're going to feel a lot better from that. And then, of course, the nutrition and the diet. You know, organic, clean, unprocessed food. Eat as much greens as you can. And I'll just leave it with this. There's an interesting thing about the color green, actually, specifically, is that that color's always represented balance and harmony. And if you think about it psychologically, you know, the balance of the heart and the emotions and creating an equilibrium, that's where that comes from. And the idea that green represents that, and that green is the majority of the color on this planet, and that the vegetables that are green are the best for you, and they help you with that alkalinity. That's why the heart chakra, the color of the heart chakra, is green. And if you look in the color spectrum, you'll see that one end of the spectrum is like a blue-violet, and the other end of the spectrum is red. And green is what balances it in the middle. So what we're talking about, and I'm just using green as a symbol so that you can kind of visualize it, think of it as a balancing point. Don't go extreme right or extreme left. You got to bring that balance in the middle. And I think that also goes to what we're talking about with this whole, you know, male, female, masculine, feminine. I mean, we all have masculine and feminine energy in our being. And
I've been off by himself after Danny left and kind of haven't really watched the video since. But I kind of got some inspiration from that. And that inspiration was in the form of a realization. When you speak through a megaphone, every joke you tell is immensely more funny than if you just normally tell a joke.
Oh, yeah. No,
seriously. And therefore, if you're going to lead a protest, make sure you have fun at the protest and tell a few jokes through the megaphone, because that way you get everybody happy, you get them all laughing, you get them energetic, you get them smiling. Have you noticed that just the act of laughing or the act of smiling actually makes you feel better, even if it's fake? You've ever seen that? There's some studies of like people who were depressed and they smiled and their depression started to wane and they became happier. All right? You could make a joke or something fun or something inspirational out of every single moment of your day. People will criticize you and say, oh, your jokes are lame or you're just not taking things seriously. Well, in actual fact, you're just not taking life seriously enough. You're taking yourself too seriously. And there's two general rules. You know, if you want to retain sanity, don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take what people have to say about you personally. Just be yourself.
I think, I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, if you're going to tell the truth, you better be funny about it. Otherwise, they'll
you. Yeah, something and I think like I've kind of nailed that down. Besides, you know, it's a hell of a lot more fun listening to somebody having a really interesting conversation. Like, I think that's the kind of the way that I like to run my show, and that's kind of how we met.
Yeah, yeah. There was this. I don't know. Everybody's ass is tight these days, and that's part of it. People don't smile at each other anymore. In public places. It's rare anymore to get a direct look and lock into somebody's eyes and be able to... We just lost our Skype line. Okay, so we'll call them back in. Hopefully it'll be better this time. This is why I hate live radio, by the way. I'm having massive network problems, but the stream's fine. Stream okay there? Are we getting the stream out tonight? I didn't have any music queued up either. So let me do this. Let's see here. I can't seem to get these guys back. Okay. Let's try this again. Okay, I got a network problem here. I'm gonna go to music and we'll come back as soon as I get them back up. We are back. I said it was going to be a loose show, and it has been. We had a massive Skype dropout again, so one of the things I guess we got to do is figure out some other way to do this.
It's a fine time to leave me, Lucille. It comes to mind.
But it's good to be back, isn't it? It's finally... We do have a clear.
It's a great
connection.
Show. I'm having a blast. I think I was just telling Vinny on the break there. I think this definitely has turned out to be much better than Iron Man 3.
Yeah, and a much lower budget too, I might add. In fact, no budget. Oh, we won't even go there tonight. The underfunding of independent radio. How we?
Well, you know why that is? It's because people are afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, man. If you're doing something good, you're doing something right, you're not engaging in scumbaggery, then I think you can very well feel satisfied just by going up and asking for help.
That's right.
You know,
that's
what I do on my show every single day. And, you know, I want to be able to use kind of that shamelessness that is Vinny Eastwood to procure funding so that when an activist needs a camera, like they're going to off down the country or something like that, or a laptop or a megaphone or a decent microphone or a recorder or something like that, so that they can conduct their activities with a little bit of a technological aid, I'll be there. and I'll use people's donation money to buy that stuff for them.
That's right.
So that they can all accumulate that information, and we'll put it up on my websites and my YouTube channels and all that stuff for them. Because the activists, basically, they're already reporters, right? They speak like reporters. They look like reporters in a lot of ways. They research like reporters do.
They're used to.
Allegedly. And that's basically what I'm talking about when I talk about the new media actually inspiring people, is you simply give somebody the tools to make media out of their everyday life, and you can be guaranteed they'll come up with something productive. That's provided they actually put the effort in. If they ain't willing to put the effort in on the video and the media side, at least get them to be able to capture it so that it doesn't disappear into nothingness. I've seen so many people turning up to all the public meetings, protests and things of that nature that I do with their cameras and all that kind of stuff, and not a single thing gets uploaded, because to be there and shoot, that's freaking easy. To get home, download that footage, edit it, process it, upload it, that's a hell of a lot of effort, son.
Sure is.
And I'm doing it all day, every day, like it's freaking nothing.
You do pull it out, man. I gotta say. Some
chick told me, like you know, asked me, you know, what movie editing program do you use? And I go, I just use iMovie off the Mac, you know. She goes, oh my god, you so don't know what you're talking about. And I go, excuse me, how many videos have you made? And she goes, oh well, I was part of a crew for like two short films. And you go, really, two films, huh? I've made 2,500. So with all respect, you don't know what you're talking about. If you've got something. Anything, if it's information or whatever, the one thing that YouTube has taught me, it matters not the quality of the video. What matters is the depth of the information.
Look at what goes viral on the internet. It's not studio releases. It's these, sometimes it's hopelessly silly stuff, but it's actually life-affirming to be able to see what people are willing to put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when you're a single man going to a party. That's what you're looking for, is the ones that will put out. Did I just say that on
the You did. Episode? And it, you know, it's the man show.
And your Skype didn't drop, so it was fully it was perfect. On
air. In all fairness.
Yeah, people out there, you got to support alternative media and kind of saying, talking earlier about how we've been supporting this whole system and all this corrupt, you know, mechanisms and whatnot in our society. It's about time that we support local business, support alternative media, support what you want. I mean, if you want to be enslaved, if you want to have commercial advertising, you know, in your face 24/7 and practically downloaded into your brain, then keep supporting it. Keep going to those big stores. Keep giving them money. If you want to keep seeing wars taking place, well, keep paying your taxes, because that's where that money's going.
Yeah.
And it's also going to pay off the debt of this imaginary money that we're all playing with. So it's whatever we support. And if we can support you know, people that do great radio shows, people that go out there and they're very, very active and they got a great message, I don't think people know what the people like the three of us and many others have to go through in order to do what we do. And we do it out of the love of our hearts, and we do it because we believe in it and we're passionate about it. We're somewhat good at it. Some of us have talents in certain areas, and like, we could be even better if we had a really good network of support, and we could drown out this noise coming from the mainstream, and we could totally take over and get some real
with
information
with minimal budget.
Yeah,
you know what's really great about volunteers is that not only do they work really, 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 really hard, but you don't have to freaking pay them.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, they work 10 times as hard as any public servant that I've ever seen. People who are exposing corruption in the local Auckland City, Super City, Agenda 21 Council, that's just like, oh my God, they basically just handed $29 billion worth of assets. This is a city of 1 million people. Over to corporations. With a single right of parliament, they're just frickin' scum. And to investigate and to go through all of this kind of stuff takes a friend of mine, Penny Bright, who's now running for mayor, an unbelievable quantity of time in order to dig up, file Official Information Act requests, you know, and all of this sort of stuff. And what amazes me is the depth of her knowledge through doing that. Is not something that she's wanting to be paid for. She's doing what I think would be classified as a patriotic duty. You know, you don't I mean, like Thomas Paine said, the duty of a patriot is to protect one's country from one's government.
That's right.
Yeah, Jefferson said he felt it was healthy that every once in a while we had an insurrection, a revolution, an overturning of the government. And now he would be considered a terrorist and he would be run off by Homeland Security into Gitmo or someplace and waterboarded for saying that.
Yeah, so that's right.
It was sensory deprivation.
The activists out there are the people that are passionate, and they're actually the people who are the experts. Listen, lawyers don't know law, they know procedure. Journalists do not do journalism anymore. They are handed scripts, they are actors, they hire actors. We now hire actors to stage false flag events that are then scripted and played out on media to embed fear memes into the culture. And so you don't have a representative media anymore. What you have is a circus designed to continue perpetuating the New World Order's agenda.
A circus, mind you, that is floundering and dying quicker than you can say
Fat
Sam.
It is.
40 million people cancelled their cable like a couple of years ago. 40 million people! Holy shit, Muslim balls. And there's also the fact that advertising revenues are drying up as well. I mean, you think about this. You know what gets the most coverage and the most ratings during prime time, you know, when all the news is on and CNN, Fox, NBC and all of that kind of stuff? You know what programs actually got the highest ratings during that time slot? Chuck Norris Total Gym commercial.
Nice.
It's just because...
Yeah, Chuck. You're cutting out again.
I mean, by the way,
oh, there we go.
You've got to hand it to Chuck Norris. He's just so freaking much better than the media, admittedly.
Well, exactly. Because he has a
right. What would you rather watch, the media or Chuck?
Well, you want Chuck a hero. Bro. You want a man's man fighting a man's battle in a man's world.
Somebody with facial hair.
And chicks like that, too. I mean, look, we're not being chauvinist here. Come on, ladies.
I don't know about you, but
you
want
to see it.
Well, actually, it was studies. And here's the other thing that's very, very interesting. Women's magazines produce all these studies of things, you know, with relatively small groups and so on and so forth. Goodness knows how much they massage the statistics. But apparently the two sexiest types of facial hair are either clean-shaven or just a little bit of hair underneath your bottom lip.
Those are the two sexiest.
Allegedly.
The goatee is out.
No.
Although
it hanging off the chin. Huh. Which I find ironic, considering the amount of rampant Satanism among sexuality and all of that kind of thing.
What, you don't like my goat? You don't like my goatee? Oh, no, baby. I tell you what, I'm going to show you my horns. I'm going to ram myself right into the depths.
We're going
of
vaguely
your
pornographic
soul.
Now.
The show just became R-rated.
It did. Okay. And that's fine. You know, the kids are asleep at this hour, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Well,
let's
freaking hope so. And unfortunately, it's going to be archived as well. So hopefully, you know, direct your complaints to my inbox, and I will apologize profusely, most likely, and then ask how I can do better. And then I will stop doing that thing that offended you. That's kind of how I am.
Our production manager is Helen Waite. You can send your comments off to Helen and Waite.
Why? I made the violation. Oh, there's a pun there.
Moving violation, too. Anyway, you know, as we've gone through this series... both of you have impressed me in very different ways with your expertise in certain areas. And as we kind of wind up tonight, I don't know if we're going to do more of these or not, but I'd like to get like a kind of completion to this somewhere on the state of where we're at in resolving some of the issues between men and women. This is an old thing that we're talking about. There have been imbalances in cultures. And for a long time, I think our culture was largely male and very martial and very warlike. Are we moving into the place where the feminine is ascending to the place where it's going to balance the equation and we're going to start to see a better culture from that?
I think the feminine already had the equation balanced, and that's why they needed to be tipped up. The Romans had a saying, to control the men, you got to control the women. And to control the women, you just threaten the children.
Oh. Now.
That's how you conquer people. You go after the children, threaten them, and you get the wife to, and you get the woman to control the male. The women always had a controlling stake in society. Do you have any idea how much skill, how much diligence, how much hard work it is to run a household and raise children? It's thoroughly underappreciated nowadays, when in actual fact it used to be freaking almost deified. And there's still an element of that. Like, I'm a mother, you know. But they use that element of, I'm a mother and I take care of my children. Now, instead of a badge of honor by which they can accept that they now have very much a lot of responsibility and power and capacity to take on the world and change it for the better. That woman that I referred to in the first hour, Kerry Campbell, who went out and withdrew $15 million through a legal right through a bank because of the amount of research that she did based on a show that she heard of mine, you know, loosely, she got 8 kids. Did she hide behind them? Did she use them as an excuse why you shouldn't do the right thing and expose the system for what it really is? Because at the end of the day, who's going to wind up in the system that you're now here, seeing, viewing, feeling at all hours of the day? You can taste it. You can taste the aspartame on your mouth. You can sniff the chemtrail particulated barium in your nostril hair. This is not a thing you can escape from. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. They've made flight undoable. So you must fight. The warrior spirit must awaken within you. Everybody has had the urge to kill. Everybody has had the urge to fight. And everybody has had the urge to die. And if you are strong, if you are capable, if you have the confidence within yourself, you can choose your own fate, and you won't have to let it up to somebody else who's going to squander away your future and the future of those that are yet to come.
That's well said, and I would also just add that we need to protect our children, because ultimately this system has all of its gun barrels pointed at them right now. And it's these children that are being raised in these farm-like institutions called schools, and they are constantly indoctrinated 24/7 by the access that they have to the media, that they're not being raised by parents anymore. I mean, Vinny, you were bringing up how the Romans knew that they had to go after the women to get to the men, and they had to go after the children to get to the women. Now they've got both men and women working 2 to 3 full-time jobs in order to pay the bills, and completely, you know, distracted and unhealthy and unmotivated and depressed. And so the children are being raised by the system. They're being raised by the state. They're being raised by the media. So if there's something that you can do, it's to get involved with working with children, whether you can work with them using whatever talents you have. I'm trying to get into the schools and community centers and trying to use my skill set, which comes from martial arts, to try to empower these children and show them about balance, whether they're male or female, showing that there's an equality there, but that everybody has different gifts and different things to bring forward. And what are you good at? What talent do you have? What can you teach? What can you do to help inspire some of these kids? Because it's a mess out there. So when we're fighting this fight, we've got to put the children first, and we got to start acting like a community and taking them under our wing, because they are the future. So whatever actions we take now is going to directly benefit or be a detriment to their future. So we got to consider that.
Yeah, and you got to figure out, like, how much worse could it possibly get? Like, oh, I'm nothing special. I'm just an ordinary guy. Really? Have you been in prison? No? Well, then you're frickin' exceptional.
Exactly.
Go out and
I'm an ordinary guy. You're ordinary, guys.
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing, man, is that the system's so nasty to everybody. Almost everybody got some kind of a black mark on their record for doing something that they shouldn't. And the sad thing about it is we think that we can't be forgiven for that. I think we can. You know, you can forgive yourself a lot of things, so long as you don't keep repeating the mistakes of the past, making a douchebag of yourself, and allowing sinful, satanic slime to kidnap your freaking children, literally and figuratively, whenever they freaking want, to make you their freaking slave. What benefit is there in allowing it to continue without taking at least one stand, here or there? It doesn't matter how many ways you resist or in what different ways you resist, as long as you resist the system. And it's crazy because you see things attacking you from every single angle. You start defending against one angle, you're simply playing your part.
You know, you just...
global resistance.
Vinny, you kicked in a key word there, and I don't want to let this go by, but it was guilt. You're made to feel guilty if you challenge a politician. You're made to feel guilty if you challenge your school system for your child. You're made to feel guilty if you withhold vaccines because you happen to believe that they're poisonous, polluted forms of basically killing our body's immune system. The whole guilt cycle has been completely reversed. The guilty are those who have been pointing their fingers at us and telling us we don't know what's best for ourselves.
Absolutely. Great point, Randy. And I want to just encourage that more and to say that people, if you're out there and you're doing this and you're trying to speak your mind, don't let even those family members or those friends, so-called friends, or those people in your life get in your face and just shut down because they want to make fun of you. They want to call you crazy. They're going to call you all kinds of names and hurl all kinds of abuse at you. They're going to challenge you constantly. Just rise to that. Take heart that you're not alone in this and realize that it takes a lot of courage. We started this show talking about growing a pair. Well, this is what it's all about, is that it takes a lot of courage to stand up and speak your mind. And there's a picture, it goes around on the internet a lot, and I love it. And it's a picture in Nazi Germany, and everybody's on their feet, and they're pointing their hand to the air, Sieg Heil, and they're hailing Hitler and everything else. And there's one guy in the crowd that's just sitting there. He kind of looks bored, actually. He's just like these.
I've seen this, yes.
It's the best picture.
It's perfect.
And it encapsulates the mentality that we need moving forward, because it's going to be those that are courageous. That's what we mean when we say the word warrior and we're talking about this stuff. You don't need to know how to use a samurai sword. What you can use and what you can sharpen is your intellect. You can sharpen your beautiful body that is designed specifically to encase your soul essence, which is immortal and which is infinite and which is connected to this planet, to the people around you, and to this universe. And you are here to express that. And remember to get in touch again with what it was to be a child, to live like a child, to want to go and have fun, to do things just for the sake of having fun. And what do you mean by that? It means that state of that inner bliss. It's like Joseph Campbell said again and again, follow your bliss. Mm. That doesn't mean bliss out and be ignorant. That means follow that spirit within you that motivates you, that gives you goosebumps, that inspires passion in you. And do that. And if you follow that, you're going to find success for sure, but you're also going to find that you're not going to be needing to run to the doctor to get some kind of psychotropic drugs so that you can rebalance the chemistry in your brain because you're in a state of manic depression. You are connected to what is. You're connected to the truth. And if you can do that and lead by example and show that example to these kids that are, whether you're your kids or someone else's kids, then I think we've got a chance. So it's courage that's going to win the day.
See, and David would know, because there is no mercy in his dojo.
There is absolutely no mercy in my dojo.
No mercy on the mats. No. I'll just add this. There are no ordinary people. There are just extraordinary opportunities out there. If you're going to challenge authority, be smart about it, and then go do it. And don't apologize for it. And don't apologize when you're wrong. but turn around and get up and do it again, because they want to wear us down and they want us to make that we're inferior, that we don't know, and it's time to turn the tables. Vinny, anything else you want to add to our summation?
Well, do we have another hour to summarize?
No, but you've got as much time as you want. We're not on the clock here.
What if I wanted another hour?
Well, hell, you can just start right now.
Okay. Well, a lot of people, when you tell them that there's something that's good for them, well, I think, why would I do that? Actually, you're asking the wrong question. You shouldn't ask, why. You should ask, why not? Isn't it much easier to experience life and actually learn new things if you keep asking, well, why not?
Yeah.
Taste new flavors, think new ideas, hear different songs, watch different films, have different experiences that encapsulate all of the knowledge and wisdom and ability of experience that this world has to offer. Or you can sit at home in the same space watching a mindless, foolish array of entertainment, and slowly the years waste away and you haven't moved, you haven't learned, you haven't experienced a thing, and you think you got life all figured out. And maybe the day will never come when you realize that you're wrong. But I can tell you what, if you did realize you were wrong a little bit too late and you didn't take action, you'd probably regret all of that time that you wasted where you could have been improving yourself, when you could have been learning something of value about the world around you. I see people who are getting old in the tooth, haven't experienced anything new since 1973. What the hell is the point in life if you aren't taking advantage of it? Goes back to that pornography reference I was talking about earlier, I guess.
That's it. You got 59 minutes left, dude.
Right, 59 minute monologue. Okay, here we go.
He's winding up. Get him his bullhorn.
Oh, yeah. Should we take like a break for music or something like that, and have a coffee, and then I could rant it all out?
You want to drag this thing out there? Yeah, this is like foreplay. Okay. No, seriously. What we need to
very
do
long.
is plan on doing this again and on whoever's turf. But it's been an amazing experience being on with you two and discoursing and listening and just soaking it all in. The people who are listening, I hope you pick up on the vibe, which is basically it's a DIY situation, but you'll not be alone when you do that. Once you step up, it's amazing what happens. Energy comes at you and resources begin to come in, and you find something inside yourself that you didn't know was there before. And that's, I think, what Vinny was saying in his summation as well. Guys,
it's a DIY, not a DUI.
I get it.
That's a DUI, when you get caught and you're driving.
I forget about
driving under the influence. Yes.
One of the few laws I have not broken.
Yeah. People need to be driving under the influence of their intuition. That's right. And I want to say, Randy, that thank you for providing this space for us on this show. And guys, it's been truly an honor to serve with you. And I hope we can do this more and work together on other projects as well. And I think that everything we're talking about getting out there and speaking your mind, it generates a lot of synchronicity. I mean, look what we've generated just randomly coming on Vinny's show. We got double booked and here we are. Yeah. We ended up with an amazing trilogy that beat the pants off Iron Man 3 and Rocky 3. And we are now just, able to create our voice and express our opinion and put some energy out there. And if we can inspire at least one person by doing that, then I think we've done our job. But I know this is going to just keep adding some more momentum to all of the work that we do. And that's what this is all about. And I really like to see when people come together in this alternative community, because there is a lot of division, there is a lot of infighting, and there is a lot of ego that ends up cropping up just as it does everywhere else. It's nice to see when we can actually stand shield to shield and to work in the same direction and with the same goals. And even if we have different opinions or different backgrounds or different ways of seeing things or different styles, that's actually what makes it amazing, because it's like a symphony, you know? And I just feel like we've really been playing in harmony, and it's just like on the Titanic on the way down. Gentlemen, it's an honor to serve with you.
Yeah, it's like a phalanx, man. You know, Alexander the Great conquered the whole of Persia and even got himself halfway into India and conquered the known world using this technique. You have a shield, but your shield you don't really use to protect yourself. You use it to protect the man next to you. And if everybody's working as one single indivisible unit, 100 men can take out 10,000 soldiers without even getting wounded, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what we can act like for each other. You see your friends under attack out there being demonized or filthified or whatever, you just give them a call and offer them some kind words, find out what's really going on, and, if anybody asks, then you know. But it's awesome when people frickin' show up for you. And what was good is that I sort of launched this thing, you know, accidentally, because I'm a stupid idiot. I sometimes accidentally double book people or forget to enter something in, which is how we met, interestingly. And
it was a great way to meet.
And what was also cool is that we were all radio show hosts, and then we were able to bounce that exact same accidental idea into, like, a small freaking radio trilogy.
That's right.
Now, that's what happens when you understand that there is no frickin' plan, everything is fly by the seat of your pants, frag it, three sheets to the wind, batten down the
hatches,
go for it.
Yep.
Well, it's been...
Take a risk?
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
Again, just reckless abandon, let it fly. It's been my privilege as well to share these last three shows with you guys, and to get to know you a little bit and bounce off each other in some very interesting ways. And stay on the line. I want to talk to you guys when we go off and see where we want to navigate this. I can barely talk tonight. My lips are numb. Anyway, next week, we will move to Friday night. That will be October 4th. We're going to have Ken Pfeiffer with us. Chris Holly will be back with me. We're going to talk about world UFO sightings, and we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up in the month of October. I will be in Boulder, Colorado, the University of Colorado at Boulder, October 10th, 11th, and 12th for the Global Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. So there will be a slight break there. And by the way, anybody that's interested in alternative energy, go over to globalbem.com and check them out, support what they're doing, and that's an important thing as well right now, is we need to get our hands on the energy that's not going to fuck up our environment and continue raping our pockets, and I feel very passionately about that. My thanks again to David Whitehead and Vinnie Eastwood. This is part three of The Man Show. This is Off Planet Radio, and we will be back with you in about 10 days. Good night. Good, so sexy and so frail. Something
tree stand. I want more.